Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory and all the praise today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's give the Lord a praise. He deserves it. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Come on, go ahead. Give the Lord a praise, a shout of praise. Let's rejoice like we know we serve a living God. Like we are happy our God is alive and well. Like we are happy we know our God is alive and well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Let's take our 2025 confessions together and spend some time in the Word of God, and would have communion when we are all done with the message. Amen. It will be on the screen. Let's take it together. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruit will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvests, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life He satisfies me, and He is showing me His salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. If that word is working and you believe it's working in your life, shout a living hallelujah today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are ministering on the theme, the spirit of the champion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to go back and read right there from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. I'm going to read from verse 32 to verse 40. First of all, in the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. They're going to put it up for us in both translations, and we're going to read them from there. Amen. He says, and what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to lift up your heads and let us read together those same scriptures from the Amplified Version, Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 32 to verse 40 in the Amplified Bible. It says, and what shall I say further? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by the help of faith subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promised blessings, closed the mouths of lions, extinguished the power of raging fire, escaped the devourings of the sword, out of frailty and weakness, won strength and became stalwart, even mighty and resistless in battle, routing alien hosts. Some women received again their dead by a resurrection. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept release offered on the terms of denying their faith so that they might be resurrected to a better life. Hallelujah. Amen. Others had to suffer the trial of mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. They were sawn asunder. They were slaughtered by the sword. While they were alive, they had to go about wrapped in the skins of sheep and goats, utterly destitute, oppressed, cruelly treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, roaming over the desolate places and the mountains and living in caves and caverns and holes of the earth. And all of this, though they won divine approval by means of their faith, they did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised. Because God had us in mind. Stop. Say, God had me in mind. Say that one more time. God had me in mind. Say one last time. God had me in mind. And he had something better and greater in view for us, so that they, these heroes and heroines of faith, should not come to perfection apart from us before we could join them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You have the spirit of the champion. Amen. You are not a wimp. You are a mighty warrior. And you are a winner. Jesus is the real champion. Let's go and read together from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. We read these scriptures last week. I'm not going to read a lot of what I read last week, but I want to start with this one. And I might read this one really every time I minister on the spirit of the champion, because that's the root of what we're preaching on right from that scripture there. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9, let's read that in the New King James Version. Just look on the screen, it'll be right there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Hold on. Mighty God is from the original Hebrew word El Gibor. I consulted a Hebrew scholar this week, and they told me it's not Gibor, it's Gibor. Somebody say El Gibor.
El Gibor.
We're going to be reading a few El Gibor scriptures in this service today. I want to fire up your faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's my goal. I want to fire up your faith.
Amen.
I want you to come to a place where the reality of the champion is clear to you, where you live it, you breathe it, you carry it every single day. That if that scripture in Hebrews 11 from verse 32, if it was written in your time, your name would have been listed there. That's my goal. To get you to a place where you really believe and you really carry on the spirit of the champion. Glory to God. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Glory to God. He is the real champion. Someone say, Jesus is the real champion. That's why we're talking about him today. That's why we're talking about him today. That's why all through this season, actually, even until the rest of the year, we should just keep talking about him.
Yes.
We're not here to be talking about Doge. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
All tariffs, all wars. That's not our assignment. Amen. All of that is a distraction to our calling. Our calling is to talk about Jesus.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
To put Jesus at the front.
Yes.
Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the noontime. Jesus in the night. Talk about Jesus. When you rise up, talk about Jesus. When you go to bed, talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. When you see things on the news, say Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. He is the real champion. Now, I want us to read a couple of Psalms I want us to read. One of them, this first one, Psalm 24, is believed to be one of the resurrection Psalms. Most Bible scholars believe Psalm 24 is a resurrection Psalm. Hallelujah. And you can see from the things that are written in there, that is really written about the Lord Jesus Christ when after his work on the cross was done and when he was coming through in the resurrection. Put that up for us. Let's read it in the King James. Psalm 24, let's read from verse 7 to 10. Let's read from verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You know who this King of glory is. Let me ask you before the psalmist asks us, who is the King of glory? Go on to verse 8. Go on to the next verse. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Hold on, hold on. That's El Gibor right there. El Gibor. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty. Two times El Gibor shows up in this verse. The Lord mighty in battle. Go on to the next verse. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
Amen.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I want us to read a second psalm. It's not a resurrection psalm, but I love it. This psalm portrays the majesty of the champion. But before I do that, I want you to listen to this commentary. I'm going to read this commentary. It's one of my favorite ones out of Psalm 24. Listen to this. The Lord mighty in battle as he was when he was on the cross. When he made an end of sin, he spoiled principalities and powers. He abolished death. He destroyed him that had the power of death. And as he will be at the last day, when the kings of the earth shall make war with him, he shall overcome them. When the beast and false prophet shall be taken, and be cast alive into the lake of fire, and the remnant shall be slain with the sword of his mouth. And who is now? Jesus is now the captain of salvation to his people. He is their leader and their commander. He's our commander in chief. You know, if you follow the one who has the spirit of the champion, and you carry the spirit of the champion, that means you are enlisted in his army. He is our commander in chief, and we are his soldiers on this earth. Hallelujah. He is their leader and commander in chief, who furnishes them with weapons of warfare, which are mighty through God, who teaches their hands to war, and he teaches their fingers to fight the good fight of faith, and he makes them more than conquerors through himself that has loved them. Somebody say, Jesus is my champion. Say, Jesus is my commander in chief. Hallelujah. I want us to read one more psalm. Just one more psalm before I move on right here and read a few more El Gibor scriptures. This psalm is also an El Gibor scripture, but it portrays the majesty of the champion, Psalm 45. And let's read that from verse 2 to 7. Glory to God. Psalm 45. And from verse 2, it will be on the screen. Let's read that from the King James. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O most mighty. That's El Gibor right there. With your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you terrible things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under you. As our champion, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Hallelujah. Amen. After all the uprisings, this line is right there in our 2025 confessions. After all the uprisings of the adversary, the miracle is born and the victory is won. Hallelujah. That was the introduction and the conclusion of the life of Jesus. From conception to resurrection, he never lost a fight. He is the real champion. He is the real deal. He's not a wannabe. Glory to God. He is the one who has never lost a fight. He is the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you have his spirit. So tell the world about Jesus. Let's continue to talk about Jesus. Keep Jesus at the center of everything you do in your life. The world is distracted with all sorts of things right now. But don't join the distractions and the political discourses. That season is over. Let's talk about Jesus, the real champion. Hallelujah. I want to read a few more El Gibor scriptures. This is about our Father, the Almighty God. Our Heavenly Father, the ultimate champion. Let's look on the screen. Let's read it together. I think I'm going to read directly from my own Bible here. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And let's read from verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 10 from verse 17. Hallelujah. The Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, the ultimate champion. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And from verse 17, for the Lord your God, he is a God of gods, and he is the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty El Gibor, and a terrible, who regards not persons, nor takes reward. He executes the judgment of the fatherless and the widow. And he loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment, clothing. Love you therefore, America, the stranger amongst you. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord your God. Him shalt thou serve. And to him shall you cleave and swear by his name. He is your praise and he is your God that has done for you this great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt. I love this one. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 people. But now the Lord your God has made you like the stars of the heavens and like a countless multitude. Glory to God. That's El Gibor. He is the mighty champion. That's El Gibor. He is the mighty champion. I want us to read one more El Gibor scripture in Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, also from verse 17. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Zephaniah chapter 3. Let's read from verse 17. The Lord your God in the midst of you is El Gibor, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. Jump to verse 19. Behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict you, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. That is the champion of our faith. That is our El Gibor. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know how many of you remember the song that Moses wrote. Moses didn't write a lot of songs. He wasn't known to be a great musician like David. But Moses did write one particular song. Moses was so overwhelmed when God, the Almighty God, El Gibor, when he showed his might at the Red Sea, when he took the children of Israel through that mighty impossibility, Moses was so overwhelmed that the inspiration of a psalmist came upon him. Even though he wasn't known to be a regular psalmist, he did write a few psalms, actually, by the way. Moses did write a few psalms, but he wasn't like David. If David goes to bed, he writes a psalm. When he wakes up, he writes a psalm. When he's eating breakfast, he writes a psalm. When he's eating lunch, he writes. David is a psalmist, a pure psalmist. Moses wasn't like that. But once in a while, the anointing for a psalmist will come upon Moses, and he will start writing. Such an anointing came upon him in Exodus chapter 15. Let's read from verse 2. Look at it right there. The Lord, let's take it from verse 1. Let's just read from verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And they spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom as a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellency, you have overthrown them that rose against you. You went forth in your wrath, which consumed them as stubble, and with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood up right as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My loss shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. But you did blow with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Hallelujah. Woo! That's our champion. That's our champion. That's our El Gibor. He has never lost a fight. You know, in the chapter before this, this is one of the reasons Moses was so overwhelmed, he burst out into singing. You remember after he told the children of Israel, don't worry, hold your peace. The Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no more. Then he started crying to the Lord. He said, Lord, what are we going to do here? I've already spoken in faith, but Lord, what are we about? What's going to happen here? You see, I'm so happy for Moses because Moses spoke in faith. He didn't speak because he saw what he was looking for, but he spoke in faith. When all the children of Israel were crying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Moses said, hold your peace. For the Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more forever. I have a word of the Lord for somebody who is under the sound of my voice today. Hold your peace. The Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more forever. But after Moses declared by faith the word of the Lord, the reality of his situation hit his mind. You know, the mind is an amazing thing. We are learning about the mind on Wednesdays. If you are missing those teachings, I feel very sorry for you. It can change your life. It can be an answer to questions you have had for years you've never known. It can show you the way out of the rubble. I just feel bad for you. The reason I feel so bad for you, the answer is right there. Yes. And you are missing in action. You know when Thomas, when Jesus came after the resurrection, and he came into the room, and all the 12 disciples, 11 of them were gathered, well, 10 of them now. And he entered and said, peace. He always comes with peace. Every time Jesus shows up, it's shalom. He's always shalom. When he entered into that room, he said, shalom. Shalom. And they were so scared. They were afraid. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Touch me. Feel the wounds. Feel me. It's me. It's me. It's your champion. I already won the fight. I went to hell and I came back. Nothing could stop me. I came back. You see, they didn't know that. When he was leaving, they didn't know if he was going to get back. When they saw him hanging on the tree, many of them thought it's over forever. That's why they went to hide in the basement. That's why many of the disciples went to hide in the basement. Do you know that? Slap your neighbor, tell them that's why they went to hide in the basement. Because they didn't know he was coming back. He told them he was going to come back. He told them he was going to come back. He told them. Didn't he tell them? But when they hung, when they saw him hanging on the tree, their minds took over. You have to be careful with your mind. You have to be very careful with your mind. Those teachings on Wednesdays can change your life. You have to learn to take control of your mind. If you don't do it, you will be a champion on Sunday. And you'll be a loser on Monday. Because when you are in the presence of the word of God, your spirit comes alive. Yes. You feel like you can do anything. Yes. Any promise. You feel like the word of God can be fulfilled in your life. Do you know this? But on Monday morning, when the enemy comes out against you, and he starts throwing challenges at you, your mind, many times, will take over. And when your mind takes over, it will start speaking things you didn't speak on Sunday. When you were in the service, there are some things you didn't say. When you were in the presence of other believers, when you were under the influence of the word of God, there were some things that never could have come out of your mouth. But on Monday morning, when the enemy hits out at you strong, and you know he doesn't play, he'll come at you, he'll hit you a little bit. It's like a boxer. And you may bounce back and try to hold yourself. But if there's some weakness there, he'll see it. And he'll come back at you and hit you a second time, like a boxer, and push you hard to the ropes. And if the weakness persists, he will come there strong for the kill. That's why many people are strong on Sunday. But by Wednesday, you have to drag them. Their lips are hanging out like dogs from their mouth. They are breathing and panting. You know what happened? They were strong on Sunday when they received the word of God. But the enemy keep hitting at them. And he keep hitting at them. And he keep hitting at them. By Wednesday, they've lost everything they got on Sunday. They say, I am a champion. I have the spirit of a champion. That's what they said on Sunday. But by Wednesday, Oh, Jesus. Even their prayer is groaning. They don't pray right anymore. They don't pray prayers of faith. Oh, God, who will save us? Oh, God, this country, who will deliver us? Oh, God, where are we going to go? Oh, God, these are people on Sunday who say, I'm a champion. I have the spirit of a champion. Oh, God, the whole world is falling apart. Stock market has gone to hell. I've lost all my retirement. Oh, God, they quickly go on the internet to Google what is happening to the stock market. How come? How long will the Nasdaq keep falling? Oh, God, they go check their savings. I lost all my interest in my savings. Oh, God. These are people on Sunday who have the spirit of a champion. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. On Sunday, they say, Shalom is mine. On Sunday, they say, God, Shalom is mine. By Wednesday, oh, God. Oh, this is a crazy world. I don't even know if I want to stay in this world. Oh, God. What kind of a world is this? But on Sunday, they say, I'm a champion. I have the spirit of a champion. You know what has happened? The devil has hit them so bad. The devil found the weak spot. He always finds the weak spot. No matter what you are saying, he's looking for the weak spot. And sometimes the weak spot is not even you. The weak spot is people around you. Sometimes he brings people around you to say some things so that those things can get in your mind and take hold of your thinking. Do you know why Jesus was so aggressive with Peter? When Peter opened his mouth and said something, and Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Do you know why he was that aggressive? Some people thought Jesus, he had a bad temper. No, he was not. He didn't have a bad temper. He have a bad temper. He just recognized that spirit. It wasn't Peter anymore. Yes, Peter had an open door that allows Satan to take hold of his mouth. That's why your mind is very important. When Satan takes a hold of your life, he usually takes your mind. It's your mind. He uses thoughts from this outside realm. Satan is the god of this world. You cannot control the thoughts that are outside here. Satan will take thoughts. Guess where he's taking those thoughts? He's putting them in your mind. If your mind is weak, and your mind is not strong, and your mind is not renovated with the word of God, so you have a gatekeeper on that mind, and you can say to those thoughts when they come, that's not my thought. In the name of Jesus, I reject you. Get out. Amen. Have you read that scripture where it says, casting down imaginations and thoughts? Yes. Every thought, every high thing that seeks to exalt itself above the things. This is what happens. This is how we take authority.
Yes, yes, yes.
These things are not just theoretical things. Everyone you've ever heard about who became suicidal, everyone you've ever heard about who fell into depression, this is how it happens. There are thoughts that come out from this realm. Satan takes those thoughts because their minds are weak. Because their minds are weak, Satan has the ability to take those thoughts and insert them into their minds. That's why as a child of God, you don't have the option of choosing what to believe in the word of God and what not to believe. In order for you to save yourself, you must become completely brainwashed. Completely brainwashed. You don't have the option of saying, well, I like the way this one sounds, but I don't like the way that one sounds. So I will take this one and I will leave that one. See, what you do when you do that, you are creating weak spots in your mind. When Satan comes against you, Sam, the Lord is giving you revelation here. I didn't even plan to go into all this. This is Wednesday teaching. When Satan comes against you, he targets your mind. Satan knows your history. You know how many of you know when you go pull up your credit history? It's not just your credit score that matters. If you want to do something really significant, if it's beyond just maybe getting a cell phone, if you want to do something really significant, like buy a car, buy a house, rent an apartment, do something that somebody is going to give you a property. They are going to do a hard pull on your credit. When they do a hard pull on your credit, everything about your life, everything about your life, including the many things you don't remember, every financial transaction you've ever done, every criminal record, every lawsuit, every ticket Popo gave you, your whole life comes up in your credit history. Your whole life. You know who has access to your spiritual credit history? Satan. He knows everything about your life. Everything you have ever done, he knows. Both the ones you told people about and the ones you never told anybody about. He knows every single thing about you. He doesn't care about your credit score. Your credit score is what you do on Sunday. I have the spirit of a champion. He doesn't care about that one. He cares about your history. Because what he's looking for is looking for weak spots. When that credit person finds the lender or whoever, I know you, many of you people in financing, you know the way this, all these things work. They are looking for a weak spot. Something that may make them disqualify you. Or charge you more. More interest. Those are your weak spots. When Satan comes at you, he's looking for your weak spots. He will rummage through your history. This is why it is important to renovate your mind with the word of God. Rebuild your mind. Because your mind is one of the weak, you're one of the biggest weak spots in your life. When Satan comes and he finds a weak spot, this is where depression comes from. If you've ever known anyone that suffers from panic attacks, I've known many people over the years. If you have ever known anyone that suffers from depression, manic depression. I've known many over my life. If you've ever known anyone that has had suicidal tendencies, I've known a few on my journey. This is how it works. They begin with thoughts. I don't even know why the Lord is having me go there. It's almost 1 o'clock. I'm going to close. And this was not part of my message. But the Lord is having me go here today. I don't know why. Because I didn't plan this. This is not a Sunday morning message. This is Wednesday. And when the enemy comes at you, he comes looking for those weak spots. The weak spot is in your mind. There are images in your mind from your childhood. Every time you have ever failed in your life, the hard drive of your mind stores the memory. There are memories in your mind. You yourself will be shocked. There are things that come up subconsciously in your mind that you yourself did not even remember were there. But Satan is looking for those weak spots. And when he brings these thoughts from this outside realm, when your mind is weak and not renovated by the word of God, he takes those thoughts and puts them there, and those thoughts take root in your mind. When those thoughts take root in your mind, they take over your mind. No matter what you were saying before then, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a child of God. I'm the healed of the Lord. When those thoughts take over your mind and they begin to rule your mind, you actually begin to believe those thoughts. Do you know the Bible says people believe a lie? Many times people believe a lie. The reason people believe a lie is because the lie feels so true to them. It's because their minds are so taken over by that lie. They have no defense against it. They have no defense against it. You have to watch out for your emotions. Your emotions are weak. They are some of your weakest spots. Some of the things that are dearest to your heart. If you are a mother, your children, you feel emotional about them. Whatever, if you're a parent, you feel emotional. There are things. That's why when God came to Abraham, he didn't ask for his money. He said, give me your son, your only son. Because God knows that one thing Abraham was entangled emotionally with was his son. You have to watch out for your emotions. Your emotions can be weak spots in your life. Sometimes you have to do right in spite of what you are feeling in your emotions. It's amazing to me today how people build idols on their emotions. Don't you know how I feel? Don't you know what happened to me? Sometimes people talk about their past. They are talking about their past as though their past is happening right now. Actually, the past that they are talking about may have happened 30 years ago. But they are talking about it as though it happened just 2 days ago. Why? Because their emotions have taken over their minds. Their minds are not renovated by the word of God. When your mind is not renovated by the word of God, you are a very weak Christian. We're going to take communion. Maybe this is what the Lord wanted me to minister today. It's just foreign to me because this was not my plan. You have to take control of your mind. Your mind is yours. Yes. Amen. God gave you your mind. Yes. You have to say to your mind, when thoughts come, you have to say to your mind, "That I don't want that. That's not God's will." God didn't say that. That's why when Satan came at Jesus, he came at him strong against his mind. The first thing he said, "You are hungry. Why don't you take these stones and turn them to bread?" Jesus was very hungry. He had been fasting 40 days. If his mind was ruling him, he would have done that. He said to him, "You are a son of God. Why don't you jump?" If Jesus' mind was ruling him, trying to prove that he's truly powerful, he would have jumped. When he said, worship me, I'll give you everything. If Jesus' mind was weak, where he was looking for a shortcut to get the glory that his father promised him, he would have bowed down and worshiped him. Your mind is your biggest challenge. Your mind is. Your emotions. How you feel. The things you feel strongly about. You have to learn to put your emotions in their place. God gave you your emotions. They are good. Do you know there are some people who have never cried in worship? And they laugh at people who cry in worship. You know why? They have problems. They will cry if you take their money. If you fire them from a job, they will cry. If you repossess their car, they will cry. But they have never cried in worship. There's something wrong with that mind. Your mind, your emotions should become so tender towards God, like David, that you can lose yourself in the presence of God and not care who is around. Don't care what people think, what people say. You should be, if you can't do it, you have a problem. Your mind is a god to you. If what people think about you matters so much to you, your mind is a god, is a weak spot. Because the decisions you make a lot of times will be determined by what you think people think about you. Many times you will know the right thing to do, but you will not do it because you think people think some way about it. You've got to renovate your mind. We're doing a lot of this on Wednesdays. This is a slow journey. But getting there, I've seen so many people. I've seen so many believers. The answers they are looking for are right there, but they won't get it. They want a quick shortcut. When Satan came through Peter and said to him, tell your master, he shouldn't be talking about dying and going to the cross. Do you know this was one of the most difficult things for Jesus emotionally? Do you know this was one of the most challenging things for the Lord Jesus Christ emotionally?
Yes.
So Satan came and took Peter's mouth. Remember, Peter had a weak mind. Do I have to prove that to you? I don't have to prove that to you. When Jesus said to the disciples, you are all going to deny me. What did Peter say? He said, everyone, all of these people, they will deny, but me? That's why I told you. Satan is not concerned about your credit score. It's not what you are saying today. It's not what you are saying. It's what is in your, is looking at your heart. It's looking at your mind. It's looking at your history. It's looking at images, things that you have believed when you were young, things that people have said to you that have become a domineering influence on you. And he knows those weak spots. So he said, he took hold of Peter's mouth because Peter's mind was weak. And you know someone whose mind is weak by how they talk.
Yes. Yes.
They say everything that comes to their mind. Have you ever heard people say, I just got to give you a piece of my mind? The reason they do it is they are weak. The Bible says a fool talks before they think.
Uh-huh.
When people say, I just got to tell you how I feel. I got to say, well, this is not church. This is not church. This is our house. I have to tell you, we're not in service. We're not in service right now.
I think some of you, you know what I'm talking about. I think some of you have seen this, movie before. Hallelujah. You've seen this movie before. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me about what was in the sermon. We're not in church. I don't want to hear the sermon. I want to tell you right now what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. I'm feeling about it. I'm feeling. And you are the one with the spirit of the champion on Sunday morning.
On Sunday morning, it was your voice we were hearing loudest. When the preacher was preaching, I have the spirit of the champion. Now, don't even remind me what that pastor said. I don't care what that pastor said in that message. I don't care about it. I don't want to tell you a piece of my mind. You need deliverance. You need deliverance. You need deliverance from the stronghold of the mind. Satan took thoughts and put it in Peter's mind. Because Peter had a weak mind, those thoughts took over his mind and they went to his mouth. And he started to say it. He started to tell Jesus, "Don't stop saying you will die on the cross. Wait, this is why he came. This is why Jesus came, to die on the cross to redeem man." Peter said, "Don't say that anymore." And he's his number two. He is the closest disciple to him. He said, "Stop saying that." Jesus said, "I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you." You have to rebuke thoughts. You have to take hold of your mind. You can't allow your mind to drive your life. Your mind is not your God. Your decisions must become wholesome decisions. The Bible says, God has not given unto us the spirit of fear, but he has given unto us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. You have to train yourself to make sound minds, sound decisions. Every day, you have to ask yourself, what I'm about to do, is that sound? What does the Lord think about that? Was he thinking? God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways." Well, I gotta ask myself every day when I make these important decisions, what does God think about this? Yes. I have to take the gift of a sound mind and walk with it. Yes. And be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Yes. And be washed. Let's close out here. Moses told them, he said, "Hey, listen." He said, "Hey, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. God is coming to fight for you. The Egyptians you see today, you won't see them no more." His spirit spoke. But right after his spirit spoke, his mind and fear took over. He started saying, "Lord, what are we going to do now? How are we going to get through this?" God came to him. If what Moses was saying was right, Why would God have challenged him? He's right there. Let's close out here. Do you see it in Exodus chapter 14? Right? Moses said in verse 13, said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. The Egyptians you see today, you see them no more." That's verse 13. Verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace." All of this was true, it's right. And then what happened after that? You see it in verse 15. "And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying unto me?" Now, you don't see it where it was recorded that Moses was crying. Because it was Moses who wrote the book. Did you know it was Moses who wrote the book of Exodus? He wrote the first five books, the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, were all the five books of Moses. When Moses wrote this book, this story, he didn't write about what he told God. But the Lord told us through this scripture that Moses was crying to him. After he told the people, "Be strong, the Lord will fight for you, the Egyptians you see anymore," then he closed the door. He put everybody out. "Everybody, leave me alone, leave me alone." He went inside the bedroom, said, Lord, God, what have we done, God? What have we done? God said, "Moses, why are you crying?" God said, "Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift up that rod, stretch it over. Listen to me, child of God, as we close and take communion real quick. Your commander-in-chief, we read he's your commander-in-chief. He has an instruction for you today. Right. What is your commander-in-chief's instruction for you today? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto you the whole armor of God, so that you may be strong in the evil day. The evil day is coming. The evil day is coming. There are very evil days ahead. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want you all to stand to your feet. Let's come before the Lord together. And let's get ready to dig into our covenant and take hold of the finished work of Calvary. Everything that Jesus died to deliver to us. The peace, the shalom, the rest, the victory, the accomplishments, the glory that our Jesus, our champion, hung on the cross. He never flinched. He never flinched. As the thoughts and the deep emotions of the sacrifice came to him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Lord, if you can, if possible, if at all possible, let this cup pass over me." He was committed to paying the price for redemption. But in a moment, he was wondering if the specific details of how that happened could be addressed. But once he got out there, he never flinched. He's a mighty champion. He went to hell. On the cross, he looked down and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." That's a strong man. With all that pain, say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He went to hell. He fought and he won the victory. On the third day, he rose up from the dead for your redemption and mine. He never lost a fight. That's our champion. That spirit that was on our champion is upon us today. Is upon you today. There may be somebody listening to me somewhere in the world. And maybe you are under intense pressure. Maybe you are dealing with real adversity, pain. Maybe life is tough. And you're on the brink of giving up. Hear me. Your commander-in-chief is telling you today, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, and having done all, stand. I want you to take on the gift that Jesus died to give to you today. All of us, those of us here in person today, and those of us that are virtual, I want us to take boldly and confidently the gift that Jesus is giving to us right now. This covenant, this communion exercise is not a religious sacrament. This is divine. It's eternal. This catches the heart of God, gets God's attention. Strong in God's mind. So whatever you need in your life, take it right now. If you feel weak, take strength. It is natural to be weak. The Bible says the women in Hebrews 11, out of weakness they were made strong. You can take that strength. Weakness is not a judgment that you are ungodly or you are unspiritual. If you are feeling concerned about some things and your fear tries to get into you, it doesn't mean that you are ungodly. But what you do is your response to that fear, is your response to that feeling of weakness. If you feel cowardly, you just can't move, you feel paralyzed in one spot, you don't know how to move forward, you've been at that spot for years and years, and you don't know how to break free, and you are so bound and tormented by fear, you are paralyzed by fear, you can't break out, you can't move forward, you can receive that breakthrough you need from that spirit of fear today. You can take the peace of God, the shalom, that Jesus died to give to you. You can take that shalom, you can take hold of it, and you can enforce that shalom in your mind. You can take that peace and put it in your mind. And say, I have peace in God. I trust God. I trust God with my life. I trust God with my family. I trust God with my children. I trust God with my future. I trust God with my finances. I trust God with everything that concerns me. I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. No matter what's going on around you, I trust God. I trust God. I have peace on every side. I trust God. I want you to do that today. As we take this communion, I want you to do it. Father, we thank you so much for speaking your word to us. Thank you for visiting with us in this service. Thank you for your mighty hands upon our lives. Father, we receive your peace. We receive your shalom. Everything you have spoken concerning us, we receive today. We choose, oh God, to believe you. We don't believe the lie of the enemy. We will not die young. Our lives will not unravel before our eyes. We will not lose everything. Our blessings will not be taken away from us. We are not insecure. We are not afraid. We are not threatened. We are secure in the promises of God. We trust you completely.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We trust you completely.
Yes,
bless these elements, oh God.
Amen.
Have your way, oh God, in our midst. Let this be a mighty celebration right through the rest of this week. In every household, in every life, as you remind them of your promises, let them burst out in celebration.
Amen.
Not because of what they can see in the natural, but because of what they know in their spirit.
Yes,
we thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.